All right. So this is going to be a little bit shorter this morning. We're trying to keep things moving, but I got a lot of ground to cover. So you guys ready? Okay. We're going to use your sheet a lot. We might turn to a few things, but we don't really have a text per se. But we may turn to some of these things, but we're going to start off looking at your sheet because this is a little bit different message this morning. But anyway, we're going to cover water baptism. You know, some of the things, what's the significance of it? Why do we baptize people? Does water baptism make you a better person or change you? You know, hopefully the answers to some of these questions will become clear. So first of all, water baptism is an ordinance of the church. An ordinance is an outward rite or symbolic observation commanded by Jesus Christ, which sets forth essential Christian truths. So one of the ordinances of the church is communion, which we just took part in, and we read where Jesus said to do this. Baptism is another one of those. Jesus set the example of water baptism by being baptized by John the Baptist. So look on your sheet there, Matthew 3, verse 13. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered him and said, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus was baptized. Jesus made it clear that believers were to be baptized in the Great Commission. Look on your sheet there, Matthew 28, verse 19. Now we're going to get into some facets. Baptized literally means to dunk. Okay? And there are different types of baptism. The Bible talks about baptisms. Okay, water baptism is one. That's why people get confused. They think every word where it says baptism is referring to water baptism. It's not. When you're baptized into something, you're dunked, you're immersed into it. And we're going to read some of those scriptures. So this is a symbol of an inward truth. We'll get to that. But here, this is talking about both. So Matthew 28, 19 through 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then in Mark 16, 14, there on your sheet, this is Jesus again. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Well, we're going to get into this. Baptizing doesn't save you. You can see right here, it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. It doesn't say he who's not baptized. Okay, but we're going to talk about that more. But it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. It's a symbol, because we're going to look at how do you get saved? How are you born again? How do you get into the family of God? We're going to talk about that in a minute. But Jesus talked about baptism in the Great Commission. Peter repeated the command to be baptized on the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts 2, verse 38. On your sheet there. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So Peter said, let everyone be baptized, and they were baptized. The apostle the apostles baptized converts throughout the book of Acts. So we have examples. Let's go down and look at Acts 8, verse 12. Though we're focusing this part, focusing on, this is an ordinance. This is in the Bible. This is, Jesus set it out. We see the apostles practicing it. We see examples of it in the Bible. Acts 8, verse 12 says, "And when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done." So we see these many men and women were baptized. And then Simon, this other individual, was baptized. He believed, and then he was baptized. Notice that. We're going to come back to these things. Notice he believed, and then he was baptized. Look at Acts 10. Verse 46. "Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?'" So this is Peter when he went to Cornelius' house, when he was sent there. And he came, and these were Gentiles. This was, up until then, it was just Jewish believers. And Peter had to be convinced in a vision. Remember, he saw the sheet coming down. He saw these ceremonial unclean animals, and the Lord tells him, "Kill and eat." And he said, "Oh no, I'm not going to do that. That's wrong." And God had to get it across to him. He said, "What I've made, what I've cleansed, don't call unclean what I've cleansed." And so then these men come from Cornelius' house and are calling for Peter, and he had already seen the vision to go with these people. Don't hesitate, go with them. So he goes and he preaches the gospel to them in their house, and the Holy Spirit falls. They start speaking in other tongues. And that's where we are here. They get born again, are filled with the Spirit, and then Peter, verse 40, end of verse 46, he says, "Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay for a few days." So they were baptized. After what? They believed. So we see that these individuals were baptized. Now look at Acts 8:36. Acts 8:36. "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water." This is Philip. He's running and he saw this chariot. The Spirit of God said, go talk to this man. And the man's reading, and he's like, I don't know, understand what I'm saying. How can I unless somebody explains it to him? And Philip starts explaining the gospel, and this man believes. It says, "Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" Notice, there's water. So this is talking about water baptism. Verse 37, "Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" It's not nice. He's just jump in. Yeah, it's no big deal. He said, "If you believe." Do you believe? We're going to get to that in a minute. He said, "If you believe, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Verse 38, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when he came up out of the water," so notice, he went down to the water, he baptized him, and notice it says, "As he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went out of his way rejoicing." So they went down to this pond or whatever, and they came back out of the pond. So they were in the pond, or whatever. Went down in the water, didn't say what water, but there's some water, and so he was baptized. Now let me just say this, probably get into this a little bit, but there are small wars have been fought over the method of baptism in the body of Christ. Okay, I mean, some people will say, I mean, I've heard second, third accounts. Okay, I haven't heard somebody I say this, but I've heard people talk about people saying things like, you're not saved unless you're baptized a certain way. And then I've heard of people say, and you're not baptized unless I baptized you. Well, that leaves a lot of people out before that person was born and after. But people get off in the weeds into all kinds of stuff. It's the hardest thing in the world for people just to go down the middle of the road. And then people say, well, baptism doesn't mean anything at all. That's one extreme. Then people say, that's how you're born again. That's how you're saved. Well, either one's wrong. Baptism does not save you. It's a symbol. This story here. On a cold January day down in Tennessee, they were having a baptism in the river. Now, it doesn't get as cold there as it does here, but it would be cold in the river. The preacher said to one man, is the water cold? The guy said, nah. One of the deacons shouted, dip him again, preacher, he's still lying. So that shows a misunderstanding. See, he's like, the guy's still lying, dip him again. Well, that doesn't just change your behavior. Just because you come up, see, some people think, well, you're baptized, now you're going to just walk straight as an arrow. Well, no, it doesn't change you. You could be changed. I mean, people have had all kinds of special things. They got born again and something changed and they never had another cigarette. They were smoking, never had another cigarette. Stuff like that happens. But when you're born again, there were three parts, okay, as a person. You're three parts. You are a spirit. You're going to live forever. Every person is going to live forever. You're a spirit being. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. God has a soul. You see him being angry. You see him being sad about stuff. But that's your personality. That's going to be with you. In other words, people are going to know you when you're in heaven. Your body is a third part. See, people think that's it. They see your body. They think that's you. Well, it's part of you. But it's really just your earth suit. Just like you came here maybe in a car, that's not you. You're driving around in the car. But see, you just walked in here in this machine we call a body, but that's not you. When you die, you're going to slip out of your body like a hand slips out of a glove and that body's going to lay limp and you're going to see your body. That's not you. That's not me. It's just our earth suit we get around in. So when you get born again, your body doesn't get changed. You know? You have blonde hair before you get born again. You have blonde hair after you get born again. You know? If you're 5'5", before you get born again, you don't all of a sudden become 6'5". Or vice versa. After you get born again, you don't change. Your mind doesn't change, thank God. Because if your mind got cleared up, completely reborn, when you were born again, all of a sudden you'd be like, who am I? 2 + 2 is, now you couldn't even talk. You'd be just like a baby. But that doesn't happen. We need to renew our mind. Your spirit's the part of you that gets changed instantaneously, that's reborn. When you see it's talking about being born again, your spirit's reborn. The old person is gone. New person is there. And we're going to talk about that. But you being dipped in water does not change your behavior. It's not magic. It's a symbol. It's an outward symbol. We're gonna get into that a little more. But water baptism in and of itself isn't going to save us. It's not going to change our behavior. We are saved by our faith in what Jesus did for us, not in anything we do ourselves. It's our reaction to him. Let's look at a few scriptures. Romans 3:27. Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. In this area, it's talking about faith and works. Now, we could get into a whole thing. We're going to touch on a little bit of this. You could preach a whole series on these things. But we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. It is by grace through faith we're saved, Ephesians 2 says. And it certainly doesn't say that we're saved by water baptism, by what you do, by the works of the law, you're not saved. We ought to do good works. Like I said, we could go off in a different direction here. We could preach on this, but we're not. We're focusing on water baptism. But the Bible does talk about good works, and it says we should be careful to maintain good works. But that's as a reaction to the fact that we're so thankful. We've been born again. God has a plan for us. We do what He has called us to do. It's a fruit of salvation, not a root of salvation. In other words, you don't become saved by what you do. You are saved by what Jesus did and our reaction to it. He paid the price. We say, I take it, and we're saved. And then we go out and do things because of what He did as a motivation. We're so thankful. We want to spread the gospel. We want to be obedient. We want people to know. But it's not we go and do all this stuff, and then we qualify and get to high enough bar, and then He saves us. Well, water baptism is one of those things. But some people, like I said, believe that it'll save you. There's nothing magic about the water. There's nothing magic about the formula. What we believe, just if you look at the scripture, we'll just look at the scriptures that we're talking about. You look at the examples. You see how Jesus was baptized. You see how these people are baptized. We believe you're baptized. It's for believers only, people that have believed on Jesus, and it's by immersion. You go underwater. It's a symbol. We're going to get to that. But you can see it very clearly when you look at the person going under and come back. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But let's look at Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. Let's turn to that. Okay, some of you got a worn spot in your Bible probably there, because especially on Wednesday nights, we've turned to that a lot. But go ahead, turn to that in your Bible, if you have a Bible, or look on your neighbor's Bible. Forgot to make sure everybody had a Bible. We have extras back there if you need one, but probably your neighbor has one. But turn to it, and it's on your sheet, of course. But sometimes, going a little bit faster today, but we look at several scriptures, and then we'll look at some on the sheet. But Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. Everybody there? If you're not, like I said, it's on your sheet. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you can... See, this is telling us how to get born again, how to get saved. See, that's not a Christian easy term. It's right here in the Bible. Saved means, we talked a lot about this a couple weeks ago in relation to healing. And that word saved, sozo, that Greek word, it means wholeness. It means to be well. It means to make complete. It's used here to be, when it's talking about being born again, it's also used when it says, like to the lady that was made well, the issue of blood, go your way, your faith has made you whole. That's that same word. So see, healing, bodily healing, is very much intertwined. It's part of salvation. It's part of the package. In other words, God just didn't do a halfway job. But here it's talking about how to be saved. What do you do? Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, it didn't say anything about baptism there. It didn't say anything about, your score on how well you're doing everything right or wrong. Now, you ought to live a holy life. We're not flying over that. You're just not saved by it. See, you don't earn your way to heaven. You can't. That's just a slap in the face of God. We are nowhere near the righteousness and holiness of God. There is one who can make us holy, and that's by the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's why it's so important. We can't work our way to heaven, and so you can't baptize your way to heaven either. Well, I'm baptized. That means I'm saved. No, it doesn't. That contradicts this and many other verses. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. See, you don't just say it. Yeah, believe something in your heart. What's your heart? You got to, in the inside. You got to believe something, and you speak it out and say, I believe. You see, like the eunuch said, I believe. It's that the Bible says, what are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. That's how we get saved. It's not by baptism. Now look at the next scripture there on your sheet, Galatians 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, justified there is the same as made righteous, declared righteous. So you are not declared righteous, or you could say in right standing with God. That same word. You're not right in right standing with God by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So you're not made in right standing with God or declared righteous by what you do. It's by what you believe. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by faith. That's that same word. Made righteous, declared righteous, in right standing with God. By faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by works of the law shall no flesh be declared righteous, justified, called to be right standing with God. Is that clear enough? You're not saved. You're not made righteous. We're not made to say we're right with God because of what we do. It's what we believe. Jesus, we can only receive what Jesus did. We cannot earn it. We cannot earn right standing with God. It's impossible. Now again, some people take that and say, well, great, license. I can do whatever I want. Well, number one, nobody needs a license to sin. They're going to do it anyway. Number two, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So people, if you say, well, great, I can do whatever I want. I'm saved. Technically that's true. Yeah, you can go out and do all kinds of stupid stuff and pay the consequences for it. And have a hard life. And blow up your family and destroy your health. Yeah, you can do that. But the Bible also says you don't want to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So you mess with it, it has a way of hardening you. You think I'll just do it a little bit and I'll back off. I'll repent tomorrow. But the fact is, you get into it, you don't really want to change. It was kind of fun. So you get into it a little bit more. You ever heard the saying, sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. Yeah. It'll make you pay more than you ever thought you wanted to pay. It will get a hook into you and pull you to where you say, oh, I'm done. And wait, it's got a hook in your flesh and it'll pull you. Why would anybody want to mess with that? And ultimately, you would never want to turn your back on Jesus. Very few people would ever do that. And that's another subject. But you don't want to mess. We don't want to mess with sin. It's not something we hold lightly. On the other hand, I can be the best, holiest person in the world, and I'm still, that's not going to make me right with God. Only the blood of Jesus will do that. So water baptism is not like, ooh, I got another check mark. I'm holier now. No, we're no more holier after today than we were before. Okay? It does not save us. Notice the Ethiopian back in Acts 8:38, we read, it says, or in 37, it says, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he was baptized. So we need to believe. In other words, we need to believe something. This is baptism is a symbol of what happened on the inside. Water baptism is an outward symbol of an inward work. Or another way you could say it is, it's an outward demonstration of an inward regeneration. Or an outward testimony of one's inward faith. It's something that we're seeing on the outside that's a representation of what's on the inside. But it itself does not push us. It does not make us saved. Look at the Amplified Bible there, 1 Peter 3:20 through 21, or actually, this is just 21. It says, this makes it clear what baptism is. And baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, talking about Noah and his family through water being delivered, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from what? From inward questionings and fears, not by the removing of outward body filth, bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at the voice. Version here. It says, the water which through the ark safely passed symbolized now the ceremonial washing through baptism that initiates you into salvation. You are saved not because it cleanses your body of filth, but because of your appeal to God from a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the anointed, our liberating King. It's a symbol. Water baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Jesus. We are baptized, immersed into Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And this is what we're illustrating. We're going to read a few scriptures here. But we are now not talking about water baptism, talking about in reality being baptized when we're born again into his death, burial, and resurrection. Go ahead and look on your sheet. Just skip down to Romans 6, verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Colossians 2 verse 11 says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So you see the picture. Being buried with him. See, when he died, he was buried in the earth. When he was raised from the dead, he came back out of the earth. This is what we're symbolizing in baptism. The person, it symbolizes the old person before they're born again. They go under the water. That's to symbolize that they are identifying with Jesus, that he died. He was buried. But then he was resurrected. And as the person comes up, they are a new person. It's symbolizing that that person's new. Now, they had to have already been born again, so this is a symbol of what's already happened. That isn't literally happening when the person's being baptized, because baptism does not save us. But it's a symbol of what actually happened when we identified with Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See again, saying that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, when we couldn't do anything of ourselves, he made us alive in Christ and raised us up together with him to sit together with Jesus in heavenly places. When you see the person coming, this is a beautiful thing. When we see the person coming out of the water, it's a symbol of what Jesus did in that person's life, and that they're new, clean, in the family of God, and seated with Jesus in heavenly places. It says that he raised us, seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by, this is what we quoted this earlier, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He didn't get saved because of good works. We are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Amen. So we saw it's baptisms and ordinance of the church, number one. We saw examples where it's done in the Bible. It does not save us. It is not an act unto salvation. It is, in fact, a symbol of what happened when we were saved. Amen.